This guy here has been a absolute blessing to Hillside, him and his family, Joe and the kids. And he's been a blessing not only to our church but to our community here at Forestfield. He's been the chaplain at the Darling Range for a few years and just done a mighty job. He's also headed up the streets, you know, praying for the streets, Adopt a Street, and just an amazing, amazing man of God. I've journeyed some things through with them and prayed with him many times, and he's a real man of faith. And sadly, this will probably be, well, hopefully it won't be his last time preaching from the pulpit, but they've taken up a job position over East, which I'll let him share with you. So they're leaving in a couple of weeks, I think, aren't you? Leaving in a couple of weeks. Him and his family, they're up taking the caravan and shooting over East to get those Eastern staters saved. You know, it's good. It's everything comes from the West and goes to the East. So we just really want to, we'll pray for them afterwards. But let's give them a warm welcome. Jason.
Thanks, Pastor Kerry. Good morning, family. As Kerry shared, we've been given the privilege and honour of relocating over to New South Wales, just outside of Coffs Harbour. They run a residential rehabilitation program. My wife and I met at rehab. We weren't actually in it, probably could have been, but we were actually working on staff there. Long story. So that's in our heart and in our blood. God took us to the Kimberleys for a couple of years, brought us back 4 years ago, and we've had a couple of children since. I had the privilege of working down at the high school, and I've been studying this year at Tabor. They contacted us 6 weeks ago and said a couple of families are moving on. Would you be interested? We'd been in touch with them over the last couple of years, and we felt that it's God's timing. We too have had a challenging year. We've lost my wife's mum through sickness, and I know many of us here have lost family and friends recently, and to hear the tragedy that Kerry shared today was very tough. So we feel really blessed. We feel sad that we're leaving Forestfield, but we feel really grateful for the season that God's opening up, and we look forward to staying in touch. I have the privilege of sharing today, and I always feel encouraged to share the Word of God, because that's the thing that resounds time in and time out, and opinions okay, and well, not that good, thoughts are okay, and but at the end of the day, it's the Word of God that returns. But I do have one challenge this morning before I begin. For those of us who are here and in that presence of God, I wonder how that affected us, and if it didn't affect you, I wonder why that is. I have a question. What happens when we lose or waver in our faith? For some of us, we're actually beginning the journey of faith. Some might not even be in that place yet. You're in the house of God through invitation, and there'll be an opportunity later on in the service at the end to pray with Pastor Kerry if you feel that's the right thing to do. But for those of us who have a faith, what happens when that, and Pastor Kerry shared today, it's interesting, he doesn't know my message, I didn't know his challenges, and he's even shared part of his own journey. There's a number of things that happen: hopelessness, despair, lack of freedom, a number of things. So how do we come to this place? Interesting, it was testified this morning about certain ways that it happens. Often it is worries, it's pressures, it's tribulations, or it could be other personal things. Could be apathy, could be other things that cause us to get into a place. This morning I felt God give me a word for the new year, perhaps, maybe just for today. And the word will be explained through the scriptures that I feel God's also brought to share this morning. And it's about fruitfulness. Interesting that my brother down here shared about the river for the new year. Pastor Kerry has felt that's confirmed. And I felt the word that God shared with me for the new year for each one of us is to be fruitful, to bear much fruit. And what that looks like for myself and yourself is different, perhaps. But the word of God clearly encourages us to be fruitful. So what happens, or more to the point, what is the solution if we find ourselves struggling? Because it's pretty hard in a church of believers to actually say, I'm struggling, or my faith, or even maybe even a marriage, or even in a friendship, because that comes with risk. It comes with potential embarrassment or shame. And so often we bunker down and we think, well, am I right? But my question to us today is, what is the solution if you were to find yourself or are in a position where you're not walking in the freedom that, when it was up here, the cross has allowed us through Jesus's life? If you have the Word of God, I'd encourage you to open it to John chapter 15. We're going to have a read and see what our Lord encourages us to do if we find ourselves in a position, or actually just in general, what he encourages us to do. I'm reading from the New King James, and it says, chapter 15, verse 1, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me, just before I carry on, I'll just commit it to the Lord. Father, this is your word, this is your moment. Lord, I am nothing without you, Father, and I just pray that you would open our ears to hear, Dad, our eyes to see your word, your truth for our own circumstance. Lord, I pray a blessing over each beautiful soul in this place, your children, that we would find something in this today and would be blessed and would be transformed in Jesus' name. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. So abide in me, and I in you. How many have heard this scripture before? I encourage you to look with it with fresh eyes. I read verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. For I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit. There's an encouragement there. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and it's withered. And they are gathered and thrown into the fire, and they are no more. If you abide in me, this is a cool promise, and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Thank you, Lord. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. And I think it's our heart's desire to glorify God, and bearing fruit does that. So you will be my disciples. Verse 9, as the Father loved me, I have also loved you, so abide in my love. If you keep my commands, you will abide in my love. Interesting. If you keep my commandments, and Jesus has got a pretty stock standard 2 commandments, love others and love God, then you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I encourage you to read through that scripture again and continue on throughout that chapter. For you personally, what is not bearing fruit in your life? I'll ask that question again, and it's a personal thing, and you can think, geez, Jace, time's ticking on, hurry up. or my tummy's rumbling, or my kids are noisy, or I just don't want to go there. And that's personal, that's okay. And I don't mean to be blunt or arrogant. I ask you the question, what's not bearing fruit? For me, it's my anger, and it's my issues of control. They certainly don't bear good fruit, at least, in my life. He says in verse 2 that he takes away the things that don't bear fruit. I found that quite interesting. He prunes the things that do get better. Now, I want God to take away my anger and my issues of control. And I ask you the same question. What is it in your life that you need God to take away? The Bible says he takes it away. The interesting thing about things being taken away is, as my beloved shared this morning, ask the question, where's the root? What's the root of that? If I have anger issues or I have control issues, there is a deeper root. That is often the surface. It's part of the bigger issue, obviously. Because I don't know if you've done any gardening before, but if you're a bit like me and I'm a bit of a surface man, she'll be right. I just rip through the grass or the garden and pull the weeds out. Now, do I do a good job with that, or do I just make it look good? And then 2 to 3 weeks later with a bit of rain, up they come again. You'd have to ask my wife the answer to that. Question is, for you and I, yeah, I can cover my anger. I can probably read a good textbook. I could probably say a few prayers, and that's okay. That's good. That works. But if I'm not dealing with the root, will it regrow again? Will it revisit? Will my issue of bitterness or resentment or pride? And so there needs to be stuff that's done to get the root out, and that's tough. That's often counselling. It's often prayer ministry, perhaps. It's often seeking wisdom, and it's often being vulnerable. And at the end of the day, that's a gutsy choice to make that, because we get laid bare. And the interesting thing is we're always bare before God, but we think, you know, we can cover up. So that's a challenge this morning. What needs to be taken away in your life? And if you choose or desire or hope to be fruitful in the following year, then perhaps that stuff needs to be dealt with. And I dare say it is being dealt with, as it is in my life, but maybe to a different level, or maybe through, more intense looking at it. If you flicked back a couple of chapters in John chapter 12, Jesus gives us some encouraging advice, but also some tough advice. In verse 24 of John chapter 12, he says to us, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, then it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. And I'd even leave that last word out, it produces much. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honour. Thanks for putting that extra bit up, Dar. So I'm only going to focus on 24, and that's encouraging, because it's tough to not be part of the world. It's tough to want to lay down things and so-called lose your life. But Jesus is encouraging us the fruit of that is going to be much more. I'd like to turn to Colossians, chapter 1 of Colossians. We'll just have a look from verse 2. Bear with me, we'll read a few verses of this. To the saints and the faithful brethren, which means brothers and sisters, in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace. And I'll even refer that to the saints and faithful brethren at Hillside. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. This is Paul saying, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. This is what your pastors and eldership do for us. Since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and it's bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you have also learned from Pastor Carey, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened in all with all might according to his glorious power for all patience, long-suffering and joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in the light. And then it goes on, once again, I encourage you to keep reading it because it talks about being delivered and by the grace of God, you know, we've been blessed. I wanted to highlight that because it talks about honouring God by being fruitful in every good work. And the only way we can be fruitful is to deal with the stuff that stops us being fruitful. I don't know if you know much about gardening. I don't particularly. My understanding is the more suckers and the more things on a tree, the less nutrients it's going to get to the fruit. So if things aren't going too well, the best way to keep your plant alive is to prune it back. And that might think, and if you know about roses, you prune them back hard in the right time so that it reshoots. That might seem hard and might seem what, but if you don't do that, long term, the plant, the human, will suffer, without pointing out my brother, will wither and potentially will die. And for each one of us this morning, what is it that needs to be pruned? And it's not just, no, and I'll refract that because it's not pruned, because I got confused. It's actually taken away. The first chapter we read in John, it actually says he takes it away. What is it that you want taken away? Now, if you want something taken away or hacked off, it might not be pretty and it might not be easy and it might not be a one-stage thing. But the question is, how fruitful do you want your marriage to be? How fruitful do you want your education to be? How fruitful do you want your relationships to be? How fruitful do I want my marriage to be? And therefore, what price am I willing to pay? And am I doing it for the right reasons, to glorify and to honour our Heavenly Father? And like Pastor Carey said, seek him first and he'll add all that other stuff, because often the other stuff gets in the way. But I've got a career, Jace, but I want to do this, but I've got this to do, but I've got, and I understand that, and that can compete. But unless, like Kerry said, we have this first, then the other stuff often doesn't eventuate anyway. Okay, so if we find ourselves in a place of loss of faith, wavering faith, perhaps darkness or despair, needing things to be pruned off, needing to get right with God, do you have a solution, Jace, or are you just going to give us all hard yards and bad news? You get steak knives as well, but I do have a solution, so hang in there, people. The solution to the dilemma, are you ready for it? No, but I'm actually being serious, and I don't necessarily need a physical response, but are you actually ready? Because we can say, yeah, I want the career, or I want the good marriage, or I want the ministry, I want that. And that's okay. And that's a good motivation, because some people would say they don't want that. But the question is, are you serious about changing? Are you serious about transformation? Are you serious about being all that you can? Are you serious? Am I serious about being fruitful in 19? And the question is, if I am, then is it going to be more than just this? Because someone said to me once, talk is cheap. And if it isn't followed up with action and endeavour of some sort, then maybe that's all it'll be, just words. So let's look at Psalm number 1. Psalm 1 in the Bible gives us the solution to our dilemma. They put man means mankind. Mankind means man and woman. Blessed is the person, blessed is man and woman, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. One. Nor stands in the path of sinners. Two. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful, otherwise known as mockers. Three. There is three things that we are encouraged strongly, wholeheartedly, not to do. Things we are encouraged to do. Your delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, the word delight is not just a 5 seconds a day or 5 minutes a day. If you delight in something, if you delight in your beloved, if you delight in a sport, you are passionate, you are interested, you are perhaps even sold out. But your delight, I'll go this side, is in the law of the Lord. Now, sometimes we get caught in that word law, but that is the gospel in the things of God. And on that law, you meditate day and night. Someone told me once, meditating is what a cow does with its cud. It just chews it over and over and over. Meditating is just thinking on scriptures, is having worship music on, is praying in the spirit. Paul encourages us to pray in the spirit at all times. That seems impossible, but if you get into a pattern, then it is possible. Okay, so we have three things that we're encouraged not to do, but two things we are encouraged. And if you choose to do those things, then you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And your tree, your life, your marriage, your business, your family, your relationships will bring forth fruit in season. Now, interesting word, season. Some seasons are hard. Winter, cold, wet, rainy. Without winter, the spring and the summer, they aren't going to be as effective. Bring forth fruit in the season of God, I believe. For me and my family, we had a plan. We're going up north. Our heart is for the Kimberleys. I've got 2 years of study to do over here at Tabor. I've done one, so we'll do another one and then we'll get going. But God said, no, the season is not ready yet. You're going this way. And he actually said it's a softer season, so I'm very grateful for that. And it's interesting, I found in my Bible this morning a few notes about going to a certain way. Many are the plans of your heart. This is a scripture he's been sharing with me. If it resonates with you, take it. Well, it's the word of God, so we need to. Many are the plans for your new year. Many have been the plans for this current year. The rest of that verse says, but it is the Lord who directs your steps. Now, the thing is if you allow it. My encouragement to you is have your plans. That's okay. But hold them to the point where you allow God to shift them. Because as Pastor Kerry said, he knows. And as Jeremiah says, he has good plans for us. You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and you will bring forth fruit. You will be fruitful. Your leaf shall not wither, and whatever you or I do shall prosper. And that's a beautiful promise, and we like that, and we take that, and that's beautiful, no worries. Question is, are we prepared to do the yards that are required? I don't have much more to share, because at the end of the day, these are, I was going to say my words, but they're not, they're the words of God, and I've thrown a few in, because it's a personal, this is what a relationship is about. It's about a personal connection, and this is between you and God. But I'm asking you a question. What does this mean to you personally for your new year? I believe God said a word for the new year is fruitfulness. And I know the Word of God tells me that God wants us to be fruitful. So I ask you to take a moment and think, because you do have a moment. It's only 8 minutes to 11, and we normally go till just after 11. So, but regardless of that, time is... I'm a clock freak. I watch the clock way too much. I'm going to try and get rid of that. I'm moving to a farm. The rehab that we're working on is in a on a farm setting and all the rest of it. So, but regardless of that, we are time poor. We have families, we have businesses, we have expectations, and so we shrink. If I ask you, how many minutes a week do you read your Bible? I don't think many of us would, without the exception, and I don't mean to brag, would probably say less than an hour in a week, and that's 7 days. And if you break that down, it's 10. And I'm guilty of that. I can relate. Because, but I read my devotion and I talk to God, and that's no worries. But if I ask myself, I read the Bible less than an hour. So my question to you is, while we do have a few minutes, sorry for rambling, is what does that personally mean to you for your life, where you sit right now? And if you choose to do that, you can shut your eyes or you can think about it, open eyes. But if you're serious about wanting to be fruitful, then maybe it's even a choice in your mind right now. Maybe it's a positive confession that you need to speak out, like Kerry shared about, you know, there might be an issue with fear and you're speaking out, no, I've been given a power, a love and a sound mind, not a spirit of fear. Maybe it's actually writing something in your Bible that I'm going to do this at this time, I'm going to talk to this person. What step are you and God, you and your Heavenly Father, so that you can produce fruit, so that things can be cut off, so that you can run the race. And as the scripture we shared today, so that you can rest in God and that you can mount up like eagles. Wow, what a presence of God that there was this morning. Thank you, worship team and Pastor Kerry and the family for doing that. So what does this mean to you personally? And if you're serious, then are you going to put actions to what you're suggesting in your heart and mind? Because it was prophesied that God wants to have a river flowing, but you know what, I believe we're a big part of that, to let it flow or to maybe dam it up and stop it a bit. Because tell you what, negativity, having opinions about the worship team, having opinions about who's speaking, I mean, I get that, I do that, I'm an opinionated person, having critical comments about this creche or that, that affects the flow in the house of God. That affects the anointing, because the Bible is very clear. The Holy Spirit is a dove. It's represented in the form of a dove. And if anyone knows much about birds, tell you what, a dove doesn't hang around for a loud noise. A dove is very gentle, is very, and the Spirit of God, I believe, is like that. And this wasn't part of my message. I just really encourage us as a family to watch what we say, to be encouraging of the team, because that will increase the, whatever, I don't even know the words of the anointing that will flow, because it's been prophesied that God wants to flow through. And I encourage you in your own personal life to continue that connection with God, continue to do that, allow Him to do that pruning and that cutting off. And out of that, praise God for a fruitful 2019. God bless you, ladies and gents.